you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. So the final witness who could get Donald Trump arrested for paying off Stormy Daniels to conceal their sex is named Pecker. David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, the purchaser in the catch-and-kill scheme to bury the Karen McDougal Trump story before the 2016 election, and the man who has already acknowledged that in August 2015, he and Michael Cohen and, quoting a federal non-prosecution agreement, quote, at least one other member of the campaign met to discuss the parameters of buying and burying the stories of all the women in Trump's life before the 2016 election. As Ryan Goodman from Just Security notes, guess who was that other member of the campaign? Answer, DOJ sentencing memo, quote, individual one, unquote, parenthesis, Donald Trump. So Pecker appeared for the second time to detail for the members of the grand jury his meeting with Michael Cohen, and reportedly with Trump as well, to buy off the likes of Stormy Daniels. This is not hard to follow. Last week, a Trump attorney nobody'd heard of named Costello suddenly showed up and told the grand jury that Michael Cohen was lying, and Trump had nothing to do with the payoff, and it wasn't a campaign violation, and it wasn't a payoff, and it wasn't a business violation, and Cohen was lying. So they brought Pecker back in so he could refute Costello, and for the second time to this grand jury, and the third time at least under oath, to swear that Trump was part of the payoff negotiation process, and the point of the payoffs were to impact the election. In short, they brought back Pecker to stand up for the truth. If they follow the regular schedule, Alvin Bragg's Manhattan grand jury is off today. It does not appear to have heard any other witnesses yesterday. It could have taken a vote yesterday on indicting Trump, but if so, Trump's attorneys would already know. And thus Trump would already know. And thus the world would already know, because Trump would have cycled back past, they dropped the case, and I don't know what's happening to the case. And he would have very loudly and very publicly returned to, I am going to be arrested and I am the greatest martyr since Christ. And he might have added, who will rid me of this turbulent Pecker? I got Pecker in the Stormy Daniels case, and I got national security levers in the special counsel's bid to charge Trump with conspiracy to obstruct a congressional proceeding. And I mean, it's almost more than my pun compulsion can handle. I mean, Trump's lever already leaked. I'll be damned if I ask, but what, if anything, came out of the Pecker testimony? after Sunday's CBS scoop about the special counsel and what is clearly his attempt to build a case of conspiracy against Trump, and getting detailed testimony from the Mark Meadows class Trump loyalists about what Trump wanted to know about manipulating national security in the days before the certification of Joe Biden's Electoral College victory. That story spigot got turned off from D.C., but in a hurry yesterday. But there were three very curious, very tangential comments about Trump and January 6th that are worth noting. One was from Senator John Cornyn, in whose state Trump gave his 90-minute, oh, woe is me speech to a crowd in Waco, measuring between one-half and one-fifth of the audience of this edition of this podcast you are listening to now. Cornyn could not figure out why Trump was looking back and not instead expressing his vision for the future, and you wanted to shake Cornyn and say, the name Trump is somehow new to you, Senator? He has no vision for the future. Looking back and complaining about it is his vision for the future. Were he to be reelected, he would whine about it in his inaugural address and demand he get a free extra term as compensation, Senator. More tellingly, Trump got criticized on both flavors of Fox, Fox Regular and Fox Business. In fact, he was savaged by two of the most milquetoast people in Rupert Murdoch's employ. Brian Kilmeade could not believe that in Waco Saturday, Trump, quote, opened up with a January 6th video, which is insane. He should be running from that period. And then Stu Varney, who at CNN 41 years ago, I think this month, taught me how to use a teleprompter, slammed Trump for the terrorist language against Alvin Bragg. Quote, I don't think America wants that kind of behavior in a presidential candidate. I think they're tired of it. I don't think they like to see him wielding a baseball bat. But of course, that's exactly what they like. Trump's base is a party of hate, the party of hate. My high school friend Will Bunch wrote at length on this over the weekend, and I commend him to you. And I will add, but not only is the Trump party based on the idea that they are unified in hating people who disagree with Trump or with them, but they are otherwise disconnected to America or politics or just the day's public events. It will not take you long scrolling through social media or watching junk TV to recognize that nearly all of them have concluded that since Trump said he was going to be arrested last Tuesday, and he told them to protest, and Trump then wasn't arrested last Tuesday, that means Trump wasn't arrested because they personally protested. And moreover, that because Trump wasn't arrested last Tuesday, he will never be arrested. And he now cannot be arrested. And since he was not arrested over Stormy Daniels, he can never be arrested over anything else ever between now and the end of time. Yes. They are that stupid. Which leads to the now 8-year-old question of why Trump supporters are that stupid, which is merely a refinement of the centuries-old question of why so many people are that stupid, and yet they survive in seeming disapproval of Darwin's sub-theory of survival of the fittest. I was actually asked this recently about Trump and his people, and I gave a 2-word answer. Mike Tyson. You may recall that by marriage and adoption, Mike Tyson and I are cousins. The boxing trainer, Cus D'Amato, actually cared enough about the troubled and even abandoned or orphaned kids he took on as fighters. He became legal guardian for several of them, including Mike Tyson, who once told me that Cus really was his father. Cus's niece, Jerry, married my Uncle John. She was my Aunt Jerry. When I met him decades ago in L.A., Tyson's eyes lit up when I mentioned Jerry D'Amato Olbermann. You're her nephew? Cousin! It was D'Amato and his associate Kevin Rooney who perfected managing Tyson's medications in such a way that they could keep him stable nearly all the time, but then gradually lower his dose in the weeks and days before a fight so that all his maniacal energy would appear in the ring. Cus D'Amato died in 1985 when Tyson was 19. He left care of Mike, both as a boxer and a person, to this Kevin Rooney.
And then in 1988, two other men stepped in to try to take over Mike Tyson's contract and Mike Tyson's life, Don King and Donald Trump. King said Tyson should be making millions more than he did under Rooney and manager Bill Caton, and Trump showed Tyson the world of jet setters. When Tyson complained that the drugs he needed to keep life manageable made him sleepy and uncomfortable and unhappy, Trump told Tyson, "Why are you taking these drugs? You are the youngest heavyweight champion in history. You can do what you want. You tell them what drugs you'll take. They don't know you. And who knows if the drugs really do you any good? You're not the troubled kid anymore. You're an adult man, the champion, a god. Work with me and Don King, and we won't make you take those drugs." For a long time, I thought this was just Trump's pitch to get his fingers into cousin Mike Tyson's career. Now I begin to think it is actually Trump's philosophy of life, and it applies perfectly to those people endlessly, desperately, and permanently supporting Trump no matter what he does, no matter what he says, no matter how he lies, no matter how he fails them. Trump gives his apocalyptic hellscape portion of America the license to take the drugs or not take the drugs. No doubt literally in many occasions, but also metaphorically. You hate black people or gays or whoever, people named Fred. This is America, the land of the free. They are the ones getting special treatment, and you are the victim of racism. Your uneducated and even life's simplest tasks confuse and scare and thwart you. Education is unnecessary. Your natural common American good sense is more valuable than 1,000 degrees from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania purchased after the fact by major donations by your father. You are told you have failed in life? You're lazy? You've underachieved? You've let people down? No! You are a victim. They are out to get you. They have rigged the system against you. Look at what they did to me. The multi-billionaire victim guy. You have to have self-discipline to get something out of your life. You have to control your impulses. You have to listen to your boss, to your wife, to your government. The hell you do. You're not the troubled kid anymore. You're an adult man, a champion, a god. Work with me, and not only won't I make you do anything you don't want to do, I'll let you do whatever you want to do. And we all know how that turned out. The next thing you knew, Mike Tyson had a giant face tattoo that looked like he'd had a really bad collision with a wrought iron bird feeder. And America got Trump. Still ahead of us in this edition of Countdown, the latest nightmare in Nashville and how quickly the right wing went from the usual daydreams that it was a false flag and child actors and meant to distract from this or whatever to something far worse and far more evil when the shooter was revealed as trans. That was Fox's only headline last night. Chris Licht's last brilliant new idea for CNN, a weekly series starring Bill Maher, is down to 35,000 viewers in the top demographic group. So Chris Licht's next brilliant new idea for CNN? Another weekly series starring Gayle King? And I have played for you before the Mona Lisa of TV sports outtakes, Gary Miller's soccer breakdown. But that, well, that was the edited version. Recently recovered from the bottom of a box, hermetically sealed since a preceding century, I have now found the original, complete soccer breakdown in 3, 2, 1. That's next. This is Countdown.
You don't have
have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
Say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snarks, some predictions. Dateline Tel Aviv, the Prime Minister of Israel and his proposed judicial changes that have provoked months of protests in that country may have relieved tensions for the moment, but perhaps made them worse for the long term. Benjamin Netanyahu postponed the legislation, and the far-right coalition that put him back in office said the legislation will pass and, quote, no one will scare us. And Netanyahu helpfully added, as he postponed it, that he was doing so in hopes of, quote, preventing a civil war. A civil war, hell of a thing for the sitting leader of a democracy to invoke. Dateline Nashville, 3 9-year-old kids are dead, and so is the head of their school, and a substitute teacher, and the custodian. And there is a horrifying photo of a crying child, a hand pressed up against the inside of a school bus window, after the latest mass school shooting at a Christian school in Tennessee. And the headline on the Fox, quote, news, unquote, site reads, Christian school massacre suspect identified as transgender. Because that's clearly what matters, not the dead kids, nor the fact that this is the 38th mass shooting in this country this month. Fox, quote, news, unquote, overflowed with brilliant excuses yesterday. Not one but two supposed experts explained that the shooter had gained access to the school via an unlocked side door. Both said, I told you so. Then police revealed, no, all the doors were locked, and she simply shot her way through one of the doors, which is another reason assault weapons must be banned. Dateline Washington, House Republicans' response to the nightmare. They were scheduled today to mark up the 7% budget increase proposal from the Biden administration for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, most of which was going to try to combat mass shootings. Congressman Andy Clyde of Georgia, who is a gun store owner and thus a man who profits off the murdering of children and other Americans, said there was no way President Biden would get that increase. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, who may or may not be loyal to the United States of America, went a little further. He proposed eliminating what he called, with no sense of irony, a, quote, woke, weaponized agency. Then somebody in the GOP finally realized this would be a bad look the day after another school shooting, so that markup will be postponed.
They don't say till when, but the answer is until people forget about Nashville and the Republican death cult can resume whoring itself out to the gun lobby. May they all burn in hell as soon as is convenient. Still ahead, historical research takes many forms. You may study ancient Sanskrit texts or look into the pyramids for ancient chewing gum. I study great sportscasting bloopers and pre-production catastrophes. And there is an important new find in the latter in the story of Soccer Breakdown. First time for the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, Dan Bongino, the Fox weekend host who draws on his own hair. Now, whatever you think of Antifa, whatever you think it is, this much is clear. Antifa, or Antifa, is short for anti-fascists. The FA is for fascist. Leave off the last S for savings. So it takes a particular kind of moron to write this sentence, and Bongino is that kind of moron. Quote, Antifa fascists are so embarrassing to their... I'll just read this again. Antifa fascists are so embarrassing to their families, blah, 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 blah. That's right. Bongino believes there are anti-fascist fascists. When Rupert Murdoch finally fires Tucker Carlson, my money is on this Bongino as the new weeknight guy. The runner-up, Ilya Lyubushkin of hockey's Buffalo Sabres. I will give him this much. Other Russian players have hidden behind the dictates of their homophobic Russian Orthodox religion. Still more have hidden behind their fear for themselves or their relatives back home who could be harassed if the player participates in a National Hockey League team's Pride Night. Lyubushkin is at least sort of putting his name to using the latter excuse for begging off the Buffalo Sabres LGBTQ celebration last night, in which he was asked to wear a uniform for like 10 minutes with some of the lettering and numerals in a rainbow pattern. No patches, no banners, no statements, just rainbows. And he said no. One can empathize with an athlete from a dictatorship who could face retribution, but there is a larger point here that is being missed. Right now, Vladimir Putin gets to decide whether or not American and Canadian private businesses are permitted to make a public statement in the U.S. or Canada about inclusivity and acceptance. Vladimir Putin is deciding what we can and cannot do at hockey games on this continent. Now, what if he now announces that any Russian player on a team that had a Ukraine night or a pro-peace night or whatever might be punished? Unfortunately, there is a simple fix here. The National Hockey League needs to offer Russian players two choices: renounce their citizenships and move themselves, maybe their families, here or anywhere else that isn't Russia. We will welcome them with open arms, or they should be banished from the NHL. They should not be at risk because of Vladimir Putin, and also we as Americans and Canadians should not be dictated to by Putin using them. But our winner, good old Chris Licht of CNN, you know, Mr. Paste. I told you several weeks back that there was reporting by Puck News that Licht's latest brainstorm to supposedly help CNN was to give Gayle King of CBS Mornings a weekly primetime show on CNN, even though A, weekly shows on cable news have never worked, ever, never, ever. B, Chris Licht's last idea, a weekly show with Bill Maher, is now drawing half of what was previously on in that time slot. It's down to 45,000 viewers in the key 25 to 54 demo. 45,000 viewers. C, morning television news and primetime television news are so different with such different audiences and tastes that they might as well be different industries, and success in one is almost always a guarantee of failure in the other. Ask Katie Couric or ask Don Lemon at CNN right now. And D, success? Gayle King's CBS show is in last place. But of course, Chris Licht used to supervise that show, and having no imagination or real understanding of the industry, just repeats what he knows and says it's successful. The Wall Street Journal reporting CNN is now, quote, finalizing a deal for King to host a weekly primetime show, according to people familiar with this. The Journal also says Licht is still talking to Charles Barkley about a primetime show, and Charles Barkley has said his primetime show on CNN would be with Gayle King. Bring your popcorn to use during the dumpster fire. The Journal also does not indicate which night Gayle King's weekly show would be failing on. Chris, look, if I'm right and they hired him to deliberately destroy CNN, exactly what would he be done differently than he's doing now? Licht, 2 days, worst person in the world!
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Still ahead on Countdown, some archaeologists hunt for ancient ruins. I hunt for things I preserved on cassette tapes in 1994. Well, I found one of them, the original of the infamous ESPN soccer breakdown. This is a saga I have told before, but now it comes with this added historical artifact, the uncut version next. First in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need. You can help Every Dog Has Its Day into Patchogue, New York. And Joey, Maria, Floy, Tornado, Hope, Miracle, Blade, Misha, Lacey, Chico, Pebbles, and Nance. Those are the dogs whose medical needs were treated and paid for by the New York Bully Crew Rescue just in the last week. Yep, pitties and pibbles and mixes, and at a time when donations are scarce everywhere, these guys owe their meat supplier $6,000, and until it's paid, the dogs are not getting any more food. It's as dire as that. Check out their site, nybullycrew.org, and donate if you can, or you can find them on my Twitter feeds. I thank you, and Joey and Maria and all the others thank you as well. Gary Miller was one of the backbones of SportsCenter. I had worked with him at CNN. He was strong, competent, very loud, forceful. He hated mascots, and he had no filter. He and Dan Patrick were great friends in Atlanta, and then Gary and Dan left for ESPN within months of each other, 1989-1990. This has been said of me, and so I say it of Gary with affection. He suffered no fools gladly. And though his elbows were always up, he made sure that 99% of the time when they bumped into somebody, that somebody had well deserved it. As near as I can piece together, Gary was doing the 11 p.m. SportsCenter on Friday night, June 24th, 1994. Typically, Dan and I did the 11 Sunday through Thursday. The story of soccer's 1994 World Cup, at least in the first week, was a preponderance of player ejections, red cards handed them by the referee. In those days, the 11 p.m. Sports Center included a feature 2 or 3 minutes long on a story that had drummed up a lot of interest during the first show planning meeting around 3:30 p.m. It was a feature called Breakdown. It provided long-form analysis in the days when we didn't have a lot of that. Could be a coach getting fired, could be the relative credentials of Baseball Hall of Fame candidates, could be one fantastic play in a game. Once we did a deadpan serious breakdown about injuries to mascots. A producer or the anchor himself would write the script, they would pre-record the narration, and then the producer would edit it. This is pre-digital, it was done tape to tape, it could take hours to edit it. And the key was to track it, to record that narration, which was done in a tiny wood-paneled room reeking of mildew that looked and smelled exactly like every suburban basement rec room in America circa October 1965. That's where Gary Miller found himself on the night of Friday, June 24th, 1994, reading a script about soccer players from around the world, none of whose names he had ever seen before, let alone tried to pronounce. It was the soccer breakdown in all senses of the word. The raw tape, the original version of his tracking session for the script for Soccer Breakdown, is easily the most beloved bootleg in ESPN's history. In fact, it is so popular that there are several different cuts of this bootleg. People have sat down with the original tape, which runs nearly 20 minutes, and edited it down to only the best or worst parts. Now, I'm not going to say I have a copy of the original. I'm simply going to note that Dan Patrick ran it on his radio show in 2017 and posted the whole segment to YouTube. So, yeah, that's where I got my copy of it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm going to annotate for you what happened. So let me present this to you in 3 segments. It did not start well for Gary, and it got worse from there. Although, Mr. Miller gave it its eternal title and life by going sibilant on the S for the word soccer. I'll note only one thing, the acronym of International Soccer's outfit, FIFA. Gary, it's pronounced FIFA.
Soccer breakdown in 3, 2, 1. FIFA, soccer's governing body, 3, 2, 1. FIFA, soccer's 3, 2, 1. The red card has become the calling card for this year's tournament. 7 ejections for 3, 2, 1. Witness Romania's Ian Bladiu against the Swiss. Is or through Christ.
But that was the easy part. Now, in the script came the names of the World Cup stars who had been given red card ejections in the first week of the tournament. One was the 17-year-old star of the Cameroon team, Rigobert Song, often referred to by his full name, Rigobert Song Bahanong, or as it was said in the script, Rigobert Bahanong Song.
3, 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigobert Bahanong. 3, 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigobert Bahanong Song. Bahanong Song. 3, 2, 1. Cameroon's Rigobert Bahanong Song. Bahanong Song. 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. By the way, Rigobert Song is now the manager of the Cameroon team. He's gone from being the youngest player in the World Cup history to get a red card to running his nation's team. I'll interject here that at the start of this final major clip, Gary Miller says to somebody who has clearly entered that tracking room that smelled of mildew, "Get out of here." Dan Patrick said that was him. I think he's mistaken. It doesn't matter much, but there was no reason for Dan to have been there on a Friday night, especially if we were not doing the show. And also, there has never been a microphone, ever, that Dan has not spoken into. Anyway, we have already met Rigobert Bahanong Song. Now meet my guy, the Italian goalie, Gianluca Pagliuca.
2. Get out of here. 2. Is guilt through 2. How long is this tape? 3, 2, 1. 1. 1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyan Song prevented a breakaway from Brazil's Bebeto. God almighty, I hate soccer! Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyan Young Song. I'm better try that one last bleep time. 2-1. Cameroon's Rigoberg Banyan Young Song. Oh, I hate this! Chalk up Bolivia's Luis Cristaldo for both on 3-2-1. But the most notable red card of the tournament came when Italian goaltender Gianluca Pagliuca, the mother...
Bleep.
3-2-1. But the flurry of red cards thus far has taught coaches and players alike to control their play if they'd like to control their fate in this tournament. Holy...
Bleep.
That is all.
The pronunciation of Rigobert's song's name is one thing. I was delighted by how furious Gary got at Gianluca Pagliuca of the Italian team and the expletive he used to describe him, which you may have just heard. In the days that followed, in fact, the Italian goalie's name became shorthand for me for that expletive in question. So for the next 3 years on SportsCenter, and after that on Fox Sports News, and then on my ESPN2 show, and on Football Night in America, and then when I returned to SportsCenter in 2018, if you heard me say Gianluca Pagliuca while we were showing a player making an error or arguing with an umpire or official, I was actually implying that the player had just said Gianluca Pagliuca. There's another punchline to this story, of course. The idea to do this soccer breakdown that so bedeviled Gary Miller, the story of red cards in the first week of the 1994 World Cup, the idea to do that came from Gary Miller. Never volunteer. I've never been convinced that Gary was really happy about his immortality, certainly not in the way my ESPN pal Steve Levy not so secretly glories in the day he once tried to say that a New England Patriots player had a bulging disc, but didn't quite get disc right. But Gary Miller has been a good sport about this through the end of his ESPN career in 2004 and afterwards in his days at Channel 2 and Channel 9 in Los Angeles and most recently at Channel 2 in Cincinnati. It isn't hard to understand why this tape is so famous and the pleasure derived from it so enduring. As John Cleese once said about the real-life hotel manager on whom he based his character from Fawlty Towers, he had this wonderful bad temper. But there are two more things. One, this occurred exactly a week to the day after the O.J. Simpson car chase, and people forget now just how disturbing that was in an America, especially sports America, like at ESPN, that with the exception of a few of us who knew, nobody knew how rotten a human being O.J. Simpson was. So even a week later, we all needed this laugh, and Gary gave it to us. And even larger, the essence of soccer in every country in which it is played is that it always allows and encourages and even demands that its fans complain about it. And so, while we cherish soccer breakdown and 3-2-1 and Rigobert Bahanong Song and Bebeto and Gianluca Pagliuca, to me, it is really about five words that anybody who hates the game will say, but they're also five words that any fan of the sport will certainly use at some point in his life. Possibly at some point today.
God almighty, I hate soccer!
Since I first told you this story, I have, as I mentioned, rediscovered an artifact that I thought was gone forever. Right after the soccer breakdown saga unfolded, an ESPN colleague made me a copy of the original raw tape of Gary, and we put it on a cassette, and I couldn't find it. There were things on it that were somehow lost from all subsequent copies of Soccer Breakdown, so this is not as high def, but I think it's even more high comedy.
Soccer breakdown in 3-2-1. After a 1990 World Cup marked by physical play and low scores, FIFA soccer's 3-2-1. After a 1990 World Cup marked by 3-2-1. After a 1990 World Cup marked by physical play and low scores, FIFA, soccer's governing body, sent out a decree for the 1994 Cup to be better policed. The result? The red card has become the calling card for this year's tournament. Seven ejections for... Three, two, one. After a 1990 World Cup marked by physical play and low scores, FIFA, soccer's governing body, sent out the decree for the 1994 Cup to be better policed. The result? The red card has become the calling card for this year's tournament. Seven ejections through the first 23 matches, and a direct message that rough play will not be tolerated, and more teams will be playing a man down if it continues. The goal? More goals, and a more palatable sell to the American public. 3, 2, 1. The results? Just over 2.5 goals a contest compared to 2.2 per game at the 1990 Cup in Italy. Why does the red card come out? A FIFA rulebook states a player shall be sent off the field of play and shown the red card if, in the opinion of the referee, he, 1, is guilty of violent conduct, witness Romania's Ian Bladiu against the Swiss, is, or, Christ. 3, 2, 1. Why does the red card come out? The FIFA rulebook states a player should be sent off the field of play and shown the red card if, in the opinion of the referee, he, 1, is guilty of violent conduct, witness Romania's Ian Bladiu against the Swiss, 2, is guilty of serious foul play, Cameroon's Rigoberg Bananyang Song prevented a breakaway from Bebeto, 3, 2, 1. 2 is guilty of serious foul play. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bayangyang Song. 3, 2, 1. 2 is guilty of serious foul play. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bayangyang. Bayangyang Song. 3, 2, 1. 2. Get out of here. 2 is guilty through it. 2. How long is this tape? 2 is guilty of serious foul play. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bayangyang Song prevented a breakaway from Brazil's Bebeto. God almighty, I hate soccer! 2 is guilty of serious foul play. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bayangyang Song prevented a breakaway from Brazil's Bebeto, a play both serious and foul, deserving of a red card. I better try that one last time. 2, 1. 2 is guilty of serious foul play. Cameroon's Rigoberg Bayangyang Song prevented a breakaway from Brazil's Bebeto, a play both serious and foul, and deserving of a red card. 3, uses foul or abusive language. Can't show you that. And 4, is guilty of a second cautionable... Oh, I hate this! 3, uses foul or abusive language. And 4, is guilty of a second cautionable offense after having received a caution. Chalk up Bolivia's Luis Cristaldo for both on 3, 2, 1. Chalk up Bolivia's Luis Cristaldo for both on this case, as he receives a yellow card and then uses on a foul or abusive language to draw a second yellow and be ejected against South Korea. A tone was set in the first match of the tournament when Bolivia's Marco Antonio Echeverri was ejected for this illegal kick against the Germans. But the most notable red card of the tournament came when Italian goaltender Gianluca Pagliuca... The mother... 3, 2, 1. But the most notable red card of the tournament came when Italian goaltender Gianluca Pagliuca was ejected against Norway for a handball outside the goal where the game was still scoreless. 3, 2, 1. But the most notable red card of the tournament came when Italian goaltender Gianluca Pagliuca was ejected against Norway for a handball outside the goal area with the game still scoreless. Down a man, a team's first instinct is defense. An injured Roberto Baggio, who is now a liability, even if he is one of the world's most talented offensive players. The gamble paid off. Italy's still alive in this year's World Cup, but the flurry of red cards thus far has taught coaches and players alike to control their play if they'd like to...
I I've done all the damage I can do here. Thank you for listening. Here are the credits. Most of the music was arranged, produced, and performed by Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel, who are the Countdown musical directors. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray. Produced by TKO Brothers. Other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by the group No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2, and it was written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN Inc. Musical comments by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Stevie Van Zandt, and everything else is pretty much my fault. So that's Countdown for this, the 812th day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Arrest him now, while we still can. The next scheduled Countdown is tomorrow. So until then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.